just prior to this passage we read in Matthew, Peter is meeting with his disciples and asks them who the people think that Jesus is. And afterwards, Jesus then asks his disciples, well, who do you think I am? And at this time, Peter gives that landmark confession of faith. He says, well, you're the Christ. You are the Messiah. You are the anointed and chosen one of God. You are the Son of the living God. And it's the confession that the entire universal church is built upon. But then Jesus says and tells these disciples something shocking. He tells them that as the Son of the living God, he must suffer, die, and be raised. And Peter and the rest of the disciples are surprised by this. They're shocked by it. It's scandalous to them to hear this. In fact, Peter tries to rebuke Jesus, and instead Jesus rebukes him. He calls him, accuses him of being Satan. If you've ever driven to Mandan, which most people probably only drive to drive through, you'll see on the highway, as you're going west on the interstate, there's a great big hill there. And on that hill, there's big block letters spelling out the word Mandan, and the N and the D are bigger than everything else. So you know it's Mandan, North Dakota, and I think it's made out of cement or something like that. There's a big hill that says Mandan. And growing up in Mandan, it's always been there. It's looked different at different times, but it's always been there. And kind of seeing it all the time, you just kind of forget that it's there. It becomes common. It loses some kind of specialness. You almost just take it for granted. And I realized that as one growing up in Mandan, I was taking it for granted. When one day we were driving to Mandan with the kids, and the kids all were astounded and amazed that this thing was there. They were shocked by it, and I realized, oh yeah, I guess it's always been there. When we hear about the suffering and the cross of Christ, it can kind of feel like that big sign is to me. It's become such a common thing in the church to hear about the crucifixion, to hear about the cross, to hear about the suffering of Jesus, that we start to take it for granted. We forget how radical, how shocking, how amazing, and even how scandalous the suffering and the cross of Christ really is. When Jesus told his disciples that he would suffer and die, it was brand new news to them. It was shocking to them. Whatever the disciples, whatever all the people around Jesus thought of him, it was shocking. If they believed him to be merely a miracle worker or a good teacher, the idea of this guy dying on the cross or suffering, that wasn't the place for him. If they believed Jesus to be some man of authority who could cast out demons, suffering on the cross wasn't a place for him. That's shocking news. If they believed him to be a conquering king or a liberating hero sent by God to get rid of the Romans, the cross wasn't a place for him. Suffering didn't enter into that equation. And for Peter and the disciples, who confess that Jesus is the Messiah, the Christ, the anointed one of God, the Son of the living God, the cross, suffering was certainly no place for Jesus to be. It was shocking news. It was scandalous. It didn't figure into the equation. Yet, Jesus tells them it was by divine necessity that Jesus must go to Jerusalem. He must suffer and he must die for them. But that wasn't the only shocking news Jesus had for his disciples that day. As soon as Jesus told them that he must suffer, that he must die, that he must be raised, he goes on to tell them that what they, as disciples, must also go through. He tells them that if any of you want to come after me, that is, to follow me, you must deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. Where Jesus goes, he says his followers will go also. It must have been hard news for the disciples to hear. And, frankly, it should be a little bit scary and a little bit sobering for us to hear. If you sit here today as a person baptized in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, if you sit here today as a person who has ever confessed faith in God, if you've ever said, I believe in God, and not only God, but that he is Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth, if you have confessed that you believe in Jesus Christ, God's only Son, your Lord, if you have said that I believe in the Holy Spirit, then guess what? You've just heard your job description as a Christian. You've just heard what it means to be called into faith. And that is to deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow Jesus. We have been called through faith to Christ. But make no mistake, it's not an easy calling. Because as Christ goes, so do we. To deny oneself, to take up your cross, is to understand God's will upon your life. And the first thing as a person who denies themselves and takes up their cross is to reckon with yourself as a person who is a sinner, and not only a sinner, but is still prone to sin and vulnerable to temptation. You reckon yourself as a person who daily will do battle with those things that try to pull you away from discipleship in Christ. Even if those things are things that the world doesn't recognize as sinful or as temptation. To deny yourself, to take up your cross, is to understand that suffering as a Christian is part of God's kind of upside-down plan for his followers. That we might, in fact, suffer by following God's will for our life. Christ tells his disciples that there is a danger when we, as followers of Christ, do not deny ourselves, do not take up our cross. That when we don't do that, we're prone to go the other way, which is to think highly of ourselves, to seek after glory, to seek after fame, and after our own self-interests. And Christ tells us the danger in gaining everything, gaining the whole world, the danger is losing your own soul. It's a scary thing to be a Christian. It's a difficult thing to live as a baptized member of the Church of Christ. But what we have to remember is that we are here not because we deny ourselves or take up our cross, but we are here because Christ first did that for us. That he first denied himself. That he took up suffering for us. And that through him and through his work alone we have this life granted to us. Through His work alone, we are given life in Christ's name. May you be strengthened by the Spirit each day to follow after Jesus. And may the glory of the risen Lord, which is a glory you too share in His death and resurrection, may the glory of the risen Lord Jesus Christ see you through your denial of self and the suffering of your own cross. Let us pray. Gracious and almighty Father, we give you thanks for Jesus Christ, who suffered and died for us, that we might, through baptism, be united to His death and also united to His resurrection. Help us, O Lord, to walk in the newness of life, to deny ourselves and to work and live as servants of the cross. Strengthen us when suffering comes, that we might remain faithful to you. We pray this in your name. Amen.